Now we're going to look at Abraham's prayer of intercession in the attempt to save Sodom and Gomorrah. It's Genesis 18, 20 to 32 on this 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And so the text goes, in those days, Vayomer Adonai Zarkat Sodom Bachmorah. The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sin is so grave that I must go down and see whether or not their actions fully correspond to the cry against them that comes to me. I mean to find out. Now, this is poetic speech. God doesn't have to go anywhere to find these things out. But he's going to visit. He's going to make himself present in a new way. And so, when Abraham's visitors walked on further towards Sodom, the Lord remained standing before Abraham. Now, he knows. How can I not tell Abraham, God says. And so, Abraham drew nearer and said, would you sweep away the innocent with the guilty? Suppose there are 50 innocent people in the city. Would you wipe out the place rather than spare it for the sake of the 50 innocent people within it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to make the innocent die with the guilty, so that the innocent and the guilty would be treated alike. Should not the judge of all the world act with justice? Do you hear that intercession? Do you see how he's laying his life down before God? He's going to argue with God because he loves those people and because he's sure of God. He's a man of faith. When was the last time we ever prayed like that? When we see falling around us such corruption, such, teenagers being corrupted, the media getting worse and worse, and corrupting lives. And God is saying, I'm going to wipe this place out. And you step in there, and you argue with God. But you can't argue with God if you don't know him. You're just arguing, throwing your words up there to God, whoever he is. That won't do it. You've got to know him. And then you can pray to him and wrestle with him. And that kind of intercession, as I've said, is the fruit of the beatitude, blessed are they who mourn. If you mourn, you will be comforted. Why? Because you can pray and have things change. Intercede. There's more to prayer than intercession, as we're going to see. But this is so important that we pray this way. And so the text goes on. While Abraham's visitors walked on further toward Sodom, the Lord remained standing before Abraham. Abraham drew nearer and said, you sweep away the innocent with the guilty. Suppose there's 50 innocent people in the city. Would you wipe out the place rather than spare it for the sake of the 50 people? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to make the innocent die with the guilty, so that the innocent and the guilty would be treated alike. Should not the judge of all the world act with justice? Do you hear the intensity of that prayer? This is God's friend, Abraham. And he's fighting with God because God is provoking him to do that. He wants intercession. You see? And the Lord answers, if I should find 50 innocent people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake. Abraham spoke up again. See how I am presuming to speak to my Lord, though I am but dust and ashes. What if there are 5 less than 50? Would you destroy the whole city because of these 5? You see how he's arguing? God answered, I will not destroy it if I find 45 there. But Abraham persisted. What if only 40 are found there? He replied, I will forbear doing it for the sake of the 40. Then Abraham said, let not my Lord grow impatient if I go on What if only 30 are found there? And he goes on. What if 20? Finally, he finally gets up his nerve to say it again. You see, what if there are at least 10 there? And that's where you get the idea of the minyan, the number, and the Jewish tradition that there are 10 righteous people in this world, and they are holding it all together. There are 10 people who really are pleasing to God. The rest of us are sloppy or evil, depending on where we are, but there's 10 who are really righteous and upright and obey God and love Him and worship Him. And for the sake of those 10, I will not destroy it. Now, what do we see from there? Many things. Sometimes a parent will start to pray that way when a child is sick. I don't care if I'm not a good Christian. I don't care. Lord, you've got to help. Charles Peguy was a good Christian. But you know, his daughter, Charles Peguy was a Frenchman, a poet, a very great man, very one of the primary figures in the whole Renaissance of Catholic life in France. And his daughter got very sick. And he interceded, he begged for God to heal that child day and night. On the bus, he was weeping and crying and praying all the time. Finally, the girl was healed. Now, what would drive a man to do that? You can't keep that up if you don't know God. You can desire the life of this child or whatever else, and you keep it up and keep it up for a while, but you get tired of it. Unless you know Him, unless you know that He's saying, come on, keep on praying. Come, pray, pray, pray. I want to be changed. It doesn't change God. But I want you to win the argument. Come and pray. But that's intimacy. If we're saying, God, whoever you are, I hope you can help, that's something better than nothing. But this kind of prayer means that you can wrestle with God. And He wants that. And so Peggy had that experience, as have many, many. This is the secret of all the great contemplatives. St. Teresa of Avila, how she interceded. St. Thérèse of Lisieux, how she interceded. In fact, at one point in her life as she was dying, she was sure in every part of her that the tiny little fine point of her soul was she knew God and she knew where she was going. But the rest of her all day was beaten on by darkness and Satan. You're going to hell. There's no more. You're going to die. They're going to put you in a hole in the ground. And that's the end of you. What's this idea about heaven? It's all an illusion. She had to fight that as she was sick and dying. But there was that tiny point in her spirit where she never renounced trusting God and praying for the world. And that's why, this is my idea, she's the patron saint of atheists. She lived atheism, but she lived it with such pain because she knew there was a God, and she hungered and thirsted for God. This is the secret, my friend. How many people, I know many, parents particularly, who had a child sick, and they began to pray like they never prayed before, morning, noon, and night. They're praying. They might be making novenas. They might be doing whatever. But they're praying. And you know what happens? They get to know God. And their whole life changes. And most often, the prayer is answered. But it's the love of a parent for a child that drives the parent to talk to the Lord until they finally get to know the Lord Himself. You see, that's intercession. How many times lately, Our Lady tells us, say the rosary every day for this poor world, which is sinking into darkness, this poor nation, which is sinking into darkness. Pray, pray, pray out of love to save, and not let this thing sink into such darkness and degradation that the powers of hell, you know, start to rule in some way. We can stop it, but we have to pray. And as I say, that's the great contemplatives. Look at Saint Faustina. Suffering to her was a joy because it was bringing grace to the world. Teresa of Avila, either let me suffer or let me die. If I can't keep building the church and winning grace for people, then let's get out of here. That's big league ball, I grant you that. But my friends, why not play big league ball? Why not pray? You just sit down and write down all the members of your family. Some of them, unless it's an exceptional family, some of them are not in good shape at all. They don't go to church. They're mad at God because I lost my job or whatever. You've got to pray for them. And you won't, you see, unless you know who God is. Unless you know that He wants your prayer. You see? And that's what this story of Abraham is all about. You know, in one level, it's almost humorous. Here's Abraham bargaining with God like he would bargain with a guy for sandals in the souk. But he does it because he's sure of God. And he knows that God wants to hear this prayer. If you'll just say it, fight with Him. So what does that mean? It means getting out of bed, my friends, and praying and wrestling with God and having the thrill of coming to know Him. That's what happens when we pray. The Lord starts to show Himself to us. And there's nothing like it. Nothing. St. Thomas talks about delectationes in inerabiles, some unspeakable delights. But we have to keep at it. That's discipline. But fight for it, my friends. If all of a sudden you lost your job and you got a new one, but then your new job, you had to be at work at 5 o'clock in the morning, you'd get there. Wouldn't be your favorite sport, but you'd get there. But this is much more important. Look around you. See the corruption, the evil, the sexual immorality, the lies. This world and this nation is in grave danger. And we, here we are, thinking about Abraham's prayer. How many people? They'll hear it on Sunday. How many people are thinking, I've got to pray like Abraham because I love my country. I love my fellow human beings all over the world, and they have got to be pulled out of this darkness. Now, I can't do it. I'm not God, but I can do what God has told us over and over and over again to do. Intercede. Pray. Take time every day to pray and to lift up this world to God for His mercy. That's the mercy that He wants to show. And you see, this is the mercy. I want to read a little bit of the psalm, which is the kind of thing that Abraham said when God spared Sodom and Gomorrah. He would have if there were 10. I give thanks to You, O God, with all my heart. You have heard the words of my mouth. In the presence of the angels, I will sing Your praise. I will worship at Your holy temple and give thanks to Your name. Your right hand saves me. The Lord will complete what He has done for me. Your kindness, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the work of Your hands. Amen.